Testing in the House Chamber, Legislative Day 37.
The House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The Sergeant-at-Arms will close the doors. Members and visitors, please silence all electronic devices. The prayer today will be offered by Representative Garrison. Members and visitors in the gallery will remain standing for the prayer and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. Representative Garrison, you're recognized for the prayer.
Thank you.
Let us pause for a moment for those who worship differently than most of us. Our Father in heaven, it is again and once more that we call upon your holy, righteous, and precious name. Thank you, dear God, for loving us so that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Thank you, dear Jesus, for going to Calvary's cross to pay a price and debt you did not owe, that being the sins of mankind. O Lord, we pray and ask that you give us a spirit of love and humility as we now are at the dawn of honoring your crucifixion, death, and resurrection. We pray, the Lord, that we will be ever so mindful of the poor, the downtrodden, the outcast, the sick, the imprisoned, those who don't know you in the pardoning of their sins. Well, Master, we ask that thou continue to strengthen us wherever weak and build us up where we're torn down. Continue to allow us to look into the hills which cometh thou help, and honor help come from thee, for without thee we can do nothing, and with thee we can do all things. But this is our prayer. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett is recognized.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for March 30th has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Torbett moves that the journal for March 30th be approved as written. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. The ayes have it, and the journal is approved as written. Ratification of, strike that, committee reports. Clerk will read.
Representative Reeds, House Bill 445, School Calendar Flexibility, Chatham County.
He's called for committee report.
Oh, it is.
He's called for committee report.
Representative Blackwell, Judiciary Full Committee Report, House Joint Resolution 233, Application for Convention of States, favorable and referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
House Joint Resolution 233, referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
House Bill 235, Evidence in District Court, Speedy Trials, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable original bill, and referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
House Bill 235, original bill on the unfavorable calendar, committee substitute, re-referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operation of the House.
Representatives Rogers and Zachary, Judiciary 3 Committee Report, House Bill 228, Attractive Nuisances, favorable, and re-referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operation of the House.
House Bill 228, re-referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operation of the House.
House Bill 379, Full Disclosure of Printer Cost Report Without Prejudice, and re-referred to Commerce.
House Bill 379, re-referred to Commerce.
Representative Moffitt, Alcohol and Beverage Control Committee Report, House Bill 322, Limit ABC License Requirements, favorable and re-referred to local government.
House Bill 322, re-referred to the Committee on Local Government.
House Bill 328, Allow Trade and Exchange of Spirituous Liquors, favorable and re-referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
House Bill 328, re-referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Arp, Lambeth, Fain, Brisson, Baumgartner, Elmore, Faircloth, Hall, and Strickland, Appropriations Committee Report, House Bill 86, Increase in Service Death Benefits, Favor and Refer to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
House Bill 86, re-refer to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
House Bill 142, UNC Building Reserves, Certain Projects, Favor and Refer to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
House Bill 142, re-refer to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
House Bill 289, DIT Broadhead Mapping Funds, Favor and Refer to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
House Bill 289, re-refer to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Carter and Hunter, Families, Children, and Aging Policy Committee Report, House Bill 212, Social Services Reform, Favorable Committee Substitute Number 2, Unfavorable Committee Substitute Number 1, and Referred to Appropriations.
House Bill 212, Committee Substitute Number 1 to the Unfavorable Calendar, Committee Substitute Number 2, Referred to the Committee on Appropriations.
House Bill 340, Advisory Council for Pan and Pandas, Favorable Committee Substitute, Unfavorable Original Bill, and Referred to Health.
House Bill 340, Original Bill to the Unfavorable Calendar, Committee Substitute, re-referred to the Committee on Health. Members, upon motion from Representative Robertson, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Mason Prevett from Zebulon Gifted Middle School. Mason's a Boy Scout and dreams of becoming a legislator. He's joined by his grandmother, Sandy Dabrowski of Knightdale. Where are y'all at? Will you stand for us? Back here. Thank y'all for being with us today. Members, upon motion of Representatives Kidwell, Tyson, and Bell from Beaufort, Craven, and Wayne Counties, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Raynor James, Hal James, Glenn Fink from Beaufort County, and Linda Harper, Iris Gilpatrick, and Carl Landgren from Wayne County. You folks stand, please. Thank you all for being with us today. Members, serving as our honorary page today, seated in the back, is Delaney Winslow, daughter of Representative Winslow, and it's also her 17th birthday today. Will you stand and be recognized? Thank you for being with us. Happy birthday. Committee reports, the clerk will read.
Representative Hall, Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House Committee Report, House Bill 2, Bottlenose Dolphin, a State Marine Mammal, favorable.
Calendar for today.
House Bill 11, Regulate Alcohol Consumables, favorable.
Calendar for today.
House Bill 18, Local School Administrative Unit Cash Management, favorable.
Calendar for today.
House Bill 46, SHRA, Stronger Whistleblower Protection, favorable.
Calendar for today.
House Bill 220, Assuring Choice of Energy Service, favorable.
Calendar for today.
House Bill 229, Extend Mayor's Term for 4 years, Carolina Shores.
Calendar for today.
Favorable.
Calendar for today.
House Bill 287, City of Randleman Charter Consolidation, favorable.
Calendar for today.
House Bill 296, EV Charger Station Parking, favorable.
Calendar for today. House will be at ease momentarily. Representative Winslow, Representative Von Haven, if the members will approach the dais, please. Gentleman from Franklin, Representative Winslow, is recognized for a point of personal privilege.
Thank you very much. I'd just like to recognize that the May Farms of Franklin County won the North Carolina Small Farms Award for all of North Carolina. It's the first time that our district has been recognized since 1992, and also that for those of you who don't know, 80% of all our agriculture comes from our small farms in North Carolina. So thank you very much.
Members, upon motion of Representative Winslow from Franklin County, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Mike Jones of May Farms in Franklin County. Mike was recently named the 2021 Small Farmer of the Year. He's here today with his wife, Suzanne, his son, Max, and his daughter, Enya. Charles Mitchell and William Landis with the Franklin County Co-op Extension are also here today. Are you folks in the gallery? Please stand if you are. Thank you for being with us today. For what purpose does the lady from Wake, Representative Von Haven, arise?
Mr. Speaker, having submitted a representative statement with the clerk, I ask that it be read in its entirety upon adjournment and spread across the journal, and I would like to be recognized to speak to the statement.
Without objection, so ordered, and the lady's recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today, on the last day of March, I've submitted a representative statement to acknowledge Women's History Month. Since 1987, the month of March has been designated as Women's History Month to honor, recognize, and celebrate the diverse accomplishments of women. I'm so glad to stand here today and to be counted among the 29 accomplished and greatly celebrated women who serve our state in the North Carolina House of Representatives. I am honored and thankful to have the opportunity to serve with all of you this year. We represent a diverse population in North Carolina dedicated to our nation's well-being and whose courageous efforts advance the livelihood of all people. Women make up more than 51% of the population of North Carolina and serve as leaders in our communities, and we make up 57% of the workforce in our state as well. Many women in leadership have shaped North Carolina, including Lillian Exum Clement, who became the state's first female legislator in 1920, Eva Clayton, who was the first African-American woman to represent North Carolina in the U.S. House of Representatives in 1992, Elizabeth Dole, who was the first woman to represent North Carolina in the United States Senate in 2003, Eliza Jane Pratt, who was the first woman to represent North Carolina in the United States House of Representatives in 1946, and Beverly Perdue, our first female governor and 73rd governor of the state of North Carolina. It is so important that we take time today to honor the legacy of women of every race, class, and ethnic background who are driving and changing the world by contributing to the economic, cultural, and social development of North Carolina in countless and recorded and unrecorded ways. Happy Women's History Month to all my colleagues and to all the women in North Carolina who make our state great. Thank you so much.
Members, upon motion of Representative Von Hafen from Wake County, the chair is pleased to extend the courtesies of the gallery to the members of the North Carolina League of Women Voters in honor of Women's History Month. Will you all stand for us in the gallery? Thank you all for being with us. Also, members, upon motion from Representative Bradford of Mecklenburg County, chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Tariq Bakari, Charlotte City Councilman, and Christian Ponce, CMS student who was just accepted to Caltech. Thank you for being with us today, gentlemen.
Mr. Court members, the chair makes the following committee appointments. Representative Johnson is removed from the UNC Board of Governors Nominating Committee, and then Representative Johnson is going to be added to the Education K-12 Committee. Representative Sauls is removed from the Education K-12 Committee, and Representative Sain is added to the Commerce Committee. Members, we're going to start disposing of a few things on the calendar, and we'll see how we proceed with today's business to determine what the remainder of the afternoon will be. I do believe the first bill may take a little bit of time, so we're going to go ahead and move on to House Bill 2, the Corporal Reed.
Representative Hanning, House Bill 2, a bill to the Entitlement Act adopting the bottlenose dolphin as a state marine mammal. General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Gentleman from Currituck. Representative Hanning is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, this bill was introduced in 2019, went through the House unanimous, didn't get picked up in the Senate. I can assure you there's nothing fishy about this bill. It is strictly about a mammal. I do appreciate your support. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House. Passage of House Bill 2 on its second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Thank you.
dolphin noises.
The House Minority Leader, Representative Reeves, is the gentleman ready to announce the proxy votes of Democratic members, or you need a few more minutes?
We're fine, Mr. Speaker. The following members have authorized me to enter votes on their behalf. Representatives Ager, yes. Brockman, aye. Carney, aye. Cunningham, aye. Everett, aye. Fisher, aye. Graham, aye. Harrison, aye. Hunt, aye. Lucas, aye. Martin, aye. K. Smith, aye. R. Smith, aye. Terry, aye.
Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 119 having voted in the affirmative and none of the negative. House Bill 2 passed at second reading. Will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 2 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 2, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 11, clerk will read.
Representatives Bowles, Moffitt, Hurley, and Willingham, House Bill 11, a bill to be entitled an act to regulate alcohol in manufactured food products such as ice cream, ice pops, gums, and gelatin. General Assembly, North Carolina, next.
I believe this is Representative Bowles' bill. Chair believes he is off the floor at this time. Does the gentleman wish to debate his bill? House Bill 11. The gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was hoping you'd identify me as Mr. Speaker back there in your chair. House Bill 11.
You were doing well for there for a minute.
House Bill 11 would give the...
Representative Hurley to explain your bill for you?
She did a great job yesterday, and yeah, she's a co-sponsor of this.
Well, usually when I see the chair notices the word alcohol, I always think of Representative Hurley, so
yeah,
I wasn't sure about it.
In Asheboro, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This would allow the ABC Commission to set standards and adopt rules for all alcoholic beverages, including alcohol consumables. It gives them the authority. Thank you.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 11 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. And the House Minority Representative Reeves, whenever the gentleman has the proxy votes, Democratic members, the gentleman may go ahead and announce those.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and the following members have authorized me to enter votes on our behalf. Representatives Ager, aye. Brockman, aye. Carney, aye. Cunningham, aye. Everett, aye. Fisher, aye. Graham, aye. Harrison, aye. Hunt, aye. Lucas, aye. Martin, aye. K. Smith, aye. R. Smith, aye. And Terry, aye.
Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 116 members having voted in the affirmative and one in the negative. House Bill 11 passes second reading. We'll be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina.
Strike that. This is a roll call bill, so it will remain on the calendar. Ratification of bills and resolutions. Clerk will read.
Enrolling clerk reports the following bill duly ratified, properly enrolled, and prepared for presentation to the Office of the Secretary of State. House Bill 356, an act to appoint persons to various public offices upon recommendation of the Speaker of the House of Representatives and the President pro tempore of the Senate.
Chapter bills will be noted. House Bill 18, clerk will read.
Representative Davis, House Bill 18, a bill to the entitlement measure to provide certain public school units additional flexibility with respect to cash management. General Assembly, North Carolina.
The gentleman from New Hanover, Representative Davis, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, currently monies deposited with the state treasurer have to remain on deposit with the state treasurer until final disbursement to the ultimate payee. Also, state funds cannot be held in a school administrative unit's local bank account, even for a brief period of time before final disbursement. What this bill would do would allow local administrative units, or LEAs, charter schools, regional schools, and innovative schools to make final disbursements to an ultimate payee no later than 3 business days after the date the public school draws upon the state funds. It would also allow these school units to deposit state funds with the official depository designated by the governing body of the public school unit. What this is getting at is, I'll give you New Hanover County as an example. The New Hanover County schools, when they pay a teacher, they have to get money drawn from the state treasurer to pay the part of the salary that comes from the state. Then they have to cut a check from the local funds for the part of the salary that they pay. What this will allow these schools to do would be to get the money from the state treasurer, put it in their local account, and the safety valve there is that it has to be disbursed within 3 business days after they get the funds. It makes it much more efficient, a lot less bookkeeping. It got a unanimous report in Education K through 12, a unanimous report in the Rules Committee, and I know of no opposition. I ask for your support. Thank you.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 18 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Court will open the vote. Representative Reeves, the House Minority Leader, is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Democratic members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and the following members have authorized me to enter votes on their behalf. Representatives Ager, aye. Brockman, aye. Carney, aye. Cunningham, aye. Everett, aye. Fisher, aye. Graham, aye. Harrison, aye. Hunt, aye. Lucas, aye. Martin, aye. K. Smith, aye. R. Smith, aye. And Terry, aye.
The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 119 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative. House Bill 18 passed the second reading. Will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina, Matt.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 18 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 18 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 64. Clerk will read. Excuse me, House Bill 46, Corkery.
Representatives Cleveland, Stevens, Warren, and Rydell, House Bill 46, a bill to maintain an act to strengthen the State Human Resources Act whistleblower protections. The General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Gentleman from Onslow, Representative Cleveland, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 46 will require state employees to report violations of state or federal law and fraud, misappropriation, danger to public health and safety, gross mismanagement, etc. It clarifies that reports ought to be made to the department head or the state auditor when there is evidence of an improper activity by a state department agency or institution. It provides immunity from civil liability to any state employee who makes a report in good faith. It provides the identity of a state employee making a report will remain confidential and not a public record until the matter is resolved or the employee consents to making the report public. It requires the state auditor to assist state employees in making reports to the state auditor as an alternative to making them to their employing department, agency, or institution. It defines good faith as honesty in fact with the goal of complying with the duties imposed by this section. And It will add a new section to allow a monetary reward to a state employee for a substantiated allegation of an improper governmental activity that involves fraud, mismanagement, or waste of state resources if the report results in a savings to the state. And this would be determined by the Office of State Budget and Management.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 46 on its second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Reeves, the House Minority Leader, is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Democratic members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and the following members have authorized me to enter votes on their behalf. Representatives Ager, aye. Brockman, aye. Carney, aye. Cunningham, aye. Everett, aye. Fisher, aye. Graham, aye. Harrison, aye. Hunt, aye. Lucas, aye. Martin, aye. K. Smith, aye. R. Smith, aye. Terry, aye.
Representative Green's gentleman wish to vote on the bill. Representative Logan, wish to vote on the bill. Clerk Watt machine record the vote. 117 having voted in the affirmative and 2 in the negative. House Bill 46 passes second reading. We'll be read a third time.
The General Assembly of North Carolina, amen.
Representative Logan's lady wish to be recorded as voted aye.
No.
Okay, the lady will be recorded as voted aye. For what purpose does lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Logan, rise?
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to object to a third reading.
There's no basis to object to third reading. It's automatic at this point. The lady wants to make a motion to for the bill to be removed from today's calendar for third reading. For tomorrow, the chair will hear the lady's motion. The lady will be recognized for that purpose, but chair would ask why.
Yes, sir, that sounds good. I would like to make that motion for the bill to be removed from today's.
Okay, the lady's recognized, so the chair's recognized the lady for that motion. The lady has the floor to debate the motion to remove the bill from third reading today.
I have an amendment on House Bill 46 that has not made it to the floor.
Representative Logan, two ways to handle it. One is, if the lady simply wanted to prepare an amendment, what we could possibly do is not vote on the motion, because I don't know if the bill sponsor is going to want his bill heard for third, and if he does, it's probably going to go ahead and get heard. But if the lady wants time to do an amendment, chair's glad to displace the bill at this time to set it aside, and then would probably ask that the member confer with the bill sponsor so that he understands what the amendment is. So, yeah, without objection, the lady would like to withdraw her motion, and the chair will simply displace the bill for third reading at this time.
Yes, sir, Mr. Speaker, that would be okay. Fine.
The motion is withdrawn. The chair is going to temporarily displace the bill and would certainly ask Representative Logan if the member could talk with Representative Cleveland. I think that might be a good idea to find out what may be something that can be resolved. The chair has no idea what the amendment is. So. And I want to clarify, did the lady still wish to be recorded as a no vote on second reading?
Yes, sir.
Okay, noted. All right, for what purpose does the gentleman from Wake, Representative Jones, rise?
I rise to speak to what Representative Logan just said on the floor.
Okay, so, all right, so that's no longer before us. It's kind of like in court. If a 12B6 had been granted, that just happened.
I got you.
So, but we're going to come back to it maybe in just a little bit. We'll see what that amendment is. The chair has no idea what the amendment is. But if the bill comes back, the gentleman will be recognized to speak about the bill or whatever this mystery amendment is.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
All right. We're all waiting with bated breath on this. All right. House Bill 220, the clerk will read.
Representatives Arp, Miller, Sane, and Zoka, House Bill 220, a bill to the Entitlement Act to limit cities and counties from prohibiting some choice of energy service based upon the type of source of energy to be delivered. General Assembly of North Carolina acts.
Gentleman from Union, Representative Arp, is recognized. Gentlemen, first, I want to debate the bill or do the amendment?
I do the amendment if we can. It's a technical.
Gentleman's recognized to send forth the amendment. The clerk will read.
Representative Arp moves to amend the bill on page 1, line 13 by deleting the phrase.
Gentleman has the floor to debate the amendment.
This is purely a technical amendment. This is what we did for electricities, and this applies to the co-ops. And so I'd ask for your support on the amendment.
Further discussion or debate on the amendment? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of Amendment A1 sent forward by Representative Arp. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The amendment is so adopted. Gentleman's recognized to, there is one other amendment. Does the gentleman want us to take that amendment up first, or does the gentleman want to debate his bill first?
I can debate the bill first, and then maybe that will preclude.
Okay, gentleman is recognized to debate the bill.
Ladies and gentlemen, this bill is supported by the North Carolina Propane Gas Association, the North Carolina Home Builders, the Retail Merchants, the North Carolina Chamber, the North Carolina Petroleum and Convenience Marketers, Piedmont Natural Gas, Electricities, and Electric Co-ops. And basically what this bill does is assure that consumers have a choice in their energy services provided to their homes, that they have a choice of which to choose. Unfortunately, across the nation, some states have conditions where those choices for energy consumption in their home are limited. What this bill does is quite simply says if electricity or gas or some other energy source is available to you in your district, you have the ability to do that. I liken it to the fact that I recently had to put in a new furnace in my home. I have a heat pump, but I have a new high-efficiency dual-fuel heat pump because I have gas available to me. So when the temperature drops really low, those gas kicks on, and it's more economical for me. Another place is where you would have a gas water heater or a gas stove to cook. If gas is available to you, you could connect to that. And a municipality by ordinance or county by ordinance would not be able to prohibit that energy choice. That's what this bill is about. It's about assuring choice of energy by the consumer. And this is a good bill, and I ask for your support.
Representative Autry is recognized to send forth Amendment A2 at this time. The clerk will read.
Representative Autry moves to amend the bill on page 1, line 9 through 13 by rewriting the lines to read.
Gentleman is recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Representative Arp, for bringing this bill forward. I appreciate that. Ladies and gentlemen, currently in North Carolina, there are no communities that are actually trying to ban gas hookups. So this bill is a solution looking for a problem. But if we want to address an actual problem, some local governments are banning the use of solar and effectively banning it by ordinance or through moratorium. So this amendment would prohibit that. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Arp is recognized to speak to the amendment.
Thank you. I appreciate the spirit in which my friend and colleague has brought forth, but this amendment is much more expansive and does change the nature of this bill. The bill I'm bringing forward in House Bill 220 is not intended or attempts to address anything regarding a utility-scale energy facility. And yet this amendment does that. On line 5, it talks about energy generating. It changes the definition. It even speaks to local zoning and land use ordinances that are generally applicable to development, including stormwater regulations and buffer requirements, shall be presumed to be valid. This bill has nothing to do with that. And so for those reasons, I believe that we have worked with members concerned. We've gone through the committee process, and the language that we have, I think, has been vetted and addresses the concerns even to the last amendment I just provided. And so I'd ask that you vote this down. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? Not the question before the House is the adoption of Amendment A2. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no.
No.
Noes have it. Amendment fails. Further discussion, further debate on the bill? What purpose, gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Autry rise?
I wonder if the bill sponsor would stand for a question.
Representative Arp, does the gentleman yield?
Certainly.
He yields.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Representative Arp. I understand that the Energy Policy Council report has been referenced as a reason to support this bill in the Energy Committee, but doesn't that report also recommend requiring the state's electricity generating utilities to use net zero emissions energy resources by 2050? Is it possible that we could add that to this bill?
No.
Thank you, sir. If I could debate the bill, please. I'd like to debate the bill, sir.
Gentlemen's recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Look, folks, this bill is taking tools away from local governments with local support that addresses the carbon emissions reductions to achieve their adopted goals. And I ask members to oppose this. This bill does prevent local governments from banning, this bill does prevent local governments from banning gas hookups for buildings or neighborhoods. This is a trend out west and in the northeast. This is a trend that is all about reducing the fossil fuel use to address climate change. Now, building electrification is a way to reduce fossil fuel usage. Local governments in some places are taking the lead on reducing greenhouse gas emissions. And so I support, and I hope you will too, that local governments keeping that option, as we need all the options on the table to meet climate change. I would ask you to oppose this bill. Thank you.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 220 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Logan, I won't have you walk all the way back over. How's the lady wish to be recorded as voting on this bill? What? No? Is that a no? I hear be recorded as having voted no. Okay. House Minority Leader, Representative Reeves, recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Democratic members.
If I may have one moment, Mr. Speaker.
Whenever the gentleman's ready, just go ahead and start announcing.
Thank you. Following members have authorized me to enter votes on their behalf. Representatives Ager, no. Representative Brockman, no. Carney, no. Cunningham, aye. Everett, no. Fisher, no. Graham, no. Harrison, no. Hunt, no. Lucas, no. Martin, no. K. Smith, yeah, aye. R. Smith, no. Terry, no.
Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 78 having voted in the affirmative and 41 the negative. House Bill 220 passes. Second reading will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina.
Question for the House is the passage of House Bill 220 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 220 having passed third reading is ordered engrossed and sent to the Senate. House Bill 229, actually, the next two bills, House Bills 229 and 287 are local bills and they can be grouped
Is there any objection to those two bills being grouped together for a short roll call vote? Hearing not, House Bills 229, 287 will be read by the clerk.
Representatives Eiler and Miller, House Bill 229, a bill to the Entitlement Act to extend the term of mayor from 2 to 4 years in the town of Cutler Shores. Representatives Hurley and McNeil, House Bill 287, a bill to the Entitlement Act to revise and consolidate the charter of the city of Randleman. General Senator North Carolina next.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bills 229 and 287 on their second reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bills 229 and 287, having passed their second reading, will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bills 229 and 287 on their third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bills 229 and 287, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 296, the clerk will read.
Representatives Warren, Van Hafen, Zucker, and Archer, House Bill 296, a bill to the Entitlement Act to regulate parking and electric vehicle charging station. General Assembly of North Carolina next.
The gentleman from Rowan, Representative Warren, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a very simple bill. It simply establishes the policy that electric vehicle charging station parking spots are to be exclusively for EV vehicles that are charging, and it requires a specific sign being made for that spot to advise people parking there that. It establishes, much like a handicap parking spot, it establishes a penalty or a fine of $100 for a non-EV vehicle being parked in that position. This bill made it through the Energy and Public Utilities Committee, Transportation and Rules, and we'd appreciate your support. Thank you so much.
What purpose does the gentleman from Person, Representative Yarbrough, rise?
To ask the bill sponsor a question.
Representative Warren, the gentleman yield?
Yes, sir.
He yields.
So this $100 fine for parking in the EV parking spot, is that in addition to the fine that the city gives you for doing that?
No, I believe we took that out where the localities couldn't charge an extra fee on that.
So now this follow-up.
If the gentleman wishes, the gentleman's recognized to ask a series of questions. If Representative Warren will yield. If
I'll he yield yields, one, I'll the yield gentleman one more.
So now the locality is not allowed to fine you for parking in the spot, or the state will fine you?
It's a statewide policy. Yeah,
the locality can fine you, and the state cannot if they have a city ordinance?
It's local enforcement. It's local enforcement, same as the handicap parking.
Okay, I guess.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, question for the House. Passage of House Bill 296 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Gentleman from Chatham, Representative Reeves, the House Minority Leader, is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Democratic members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. All my members have authorized me to enter votes on their behalf. Representatives Ager, aye. Brockman, aye. Carney, aye. Cunningham, aye. Everett, aye. Fisher, aye. Graham, aye. Harrison, aye. Hunt, aye. Lucas, aye. Martin, aye. K. Smith, aye. R. Smith, aye. Terry, aye.
Representatives Logan and Insko wish to vote on the bill.
Clerk will lock machine, record the vote. 115 having voted in the affirmative and 4 in the negative. House Bill 296 passes its second reading. Will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 296 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 296 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate. Go up to House. Actually, members, Chair is looking at adding a bill to today's calendar. So in order to do that, we're going to call for messages from the Senate. The clerk will read.
House Bill 53, Senate Committee Substitute, Third Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to authorize student attendance in the local school administrative unit, children in active duty military due to the military orders of the parent, and to clarify continuous enrollment for high school students that are dependents of military personnel once those students are admitted to the state institution of higher education.
Counter foot rule 36B. Chair will counter for today. Chair will advise members that's House Bill 53 that was added to today's calendar. Chair has been informed by the bill sponsors. They've agreed with it, but the chair will not take this bill up till the end of the calendar in case there's questions. This is one that has already passed the House. I think it may have even passed unanimously, but it came back from the Senate, so it'll just be on for a concurrence today. So, court may go ahead and continue with the messages from the Senate since we're at that point.
Senate Bill 148, Committee Substitute, Second Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to extend the validity of improvement permits and authorization of wastewater system construction on January 1st, 2024 for certain circumstances.
Rules, counter, and operations of the House.
Senate Bill 207, Committee Substitute, Second Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to implement the juvenile justice reinvestment and based on legislative recommendations of juvenile jurisdiction advisory committee.
Rules, counter, and operations of the House.
Senate Bill 211, first edition, a bill to be entitled an act to encourage investment in regulated water and sewer systems to authorize the use of water and sewer investment plan rate making mechanism for established rates of regulated water and sewer utilities and to otherwise amend rate adjustments mechanism for water and sewer improvements.
Rules, counter, and operations of the House.
Senate Bill 224, first edition, a bill to be entitled an act to dedicate the Agricultural Science Center of the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services as Steve Troxler Agricultural Science Center.
Rules, counter, and operations of the House.
Senate Bill 255, Committee Substitute, Second Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to make various changes to technical corrections of the laws governing the administrative of justice.
Rules, counter, operations of the House.
Senate Bill 278, First Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to confirm the statutes relating to reimbursement of expenditures made by spouses in joint property or current family law practice and to recommend by the Family Law Section of North Carolina Bar Association.
Rules, counter, and operations of the House. House Bill 264, the clerk will read.
Representative Kidwell, Dwayne, Dustin Hall, Dale, and Moffitt, House Bill 264, bill to be entitled an act to clarify the expiration of the state emergency and to exercise certain powers under the state emergency to clarify the abatements of the statewide imminent hazard and to clarify statewide quarantines. General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Representative Kidwell, the gentleman is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 264, the Emergency Powers Accountability Act, defines what the concurrence of the Council of State is. It also defines what a statewide state of emergency is. It would consist of 67 or more counties. The reason for that would be we want to allow the governor the latitude in situations where there's hurricanes, floods, fires, tornadoes, to react quickly to those situations. This is geared towards what we now know as global pandemics more than anything else. It updates the laws to what we now know to be issues that we will face. It is our responsibility as this body, and we have done so many times over the years, to update existing laws. Currently, we are in a worldwide pandemic. We have suffered a loss of life from the pandemic, and due to the people being unable or unwilling to seek health care, we've seen a strong uprise in the number of deaths related to cancer, heart disease, kidney, and so on. And according to the reports coming out, those are going to continue to escalate over the next several years as a result of this global pandemic. Our suicide rates are skyrocketing. Our financial losses that we're seeing are going to take years to recover from. There's businesses large and small that have suffered, that have failed, or will fail in the near future. And there's going to be a lot of work and heavy lifting to be done with that. This pandemic has affected our schools. It has scarred the education of our children. And they will likely, if ever, be a long time recovering from that. They've lost an entire year of their lives as children, which should have been the best times of their lives. People have not been able to see their loved ones. Travel has been restricted. The effects are yet to really be seen because we don't know. There is so much that we don't know what we're going to have to deal with over the next several years. The Council of State's responsibility is to help the governor in dealing with issues of this magnitude. In a republic, no single person should, according to our constitutions, no single person should be responsible, nor would I think any single person would want to be held to that level of responsibility. What this bill seeks to do is to give that aid and assistance to the governor, because when making decisions of this size, of this impact on our state, we need the advice of the education. We need the advice of ag. We need the advice of transportation. We need the advice of as many people as we can possibly put up there to properly handle pandemics. This was just a word we saw on TV in the past. We all watched the movie years ago, I think it was 20 years ago, the movie Pandemic, and we were all like, yeah, that'll never happen. You know, we got way too smart a scientist for that, but yet here we are. And I do recall in those movies, they always had every possible person who had any awareness or intelligence at all related to the matter helping them. And that is what this bill seeks to do. I appreciate your support on the bill. I'll stand for any questions.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Guilford present Quick Rise?
To ask the bill sponsor a question.
Does the gentleman yield to a question?
Certainly, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Kilwell. If I read the bill correctly, if this bill passes and becomes law, the governor would have to go to the Council of State within 7 days, and then in subsequent 30-day increments, go back to the Council of State and seek majority approval for continuing the state of emergency declarations.
You do read that correctly.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, may I speak to the bill?
The gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Unfortunately, this is not a movie. This is real life. This is a global pandemic. It is not Governor Cooper or any other governor waking up one morning and deciding that they want power. It is a response to a pandemic that hit the whole world in March of last year and probably even before that. The governor, for 8 months before his reelection, laid forth his course of action. The governor gave the voters the idea of the how he was would handle this pandemic. And in November, the governor was reelected by not all of the people, but the majority of the people, partly because of the way he handled the pandemic. A choice was even made in the election of governor in North Carolina. We would stay the course of our current governor, we would elect another person who wanted a very different course. I regret that we think the response to this, or some of us think that the response to a global pandemic, is to strip the powers of a person whose crown none of us would probably want to wear in this current environment. I don't think the governor relishes the fact that he has to be the governor in the pandemic. And I think he's doing the best that he knows to do. To have to go to the Council of State within 7 days and then every 30 days just doesn't make sense in a lot of different ways. So what if 30 days after people begin to change their mind politically? And unfortunately, we all know that this pandemic has become a political football on several sides. So I would vote against this bill, ask you to vote against this bill, because despite what we know, even a year later, The New York Times reports that several countries in Europe are going back to more restrictive actions because opening up or allowing different things to happen has not worked. This is not the time to strip the governor of any power. This is a time to band together as North Carolinians because we are not out of the woods yet.
For what purpose does the lady from Durham, Representative Morey, rise?
To debate the bill.
Lady has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I agree with much of what Representative Kidwell said. As we know what this crisis is, and nobody could have predicted the breadth and the scope of it. A year ago, if you would have said we would be in the same place in March of 2021, it is beyond any of our life experiences. Just today, CNN reported that the number three cause of death in 2020 is the coronavirus, which is astounding. And that's even before the surge happened in January. So, despite this, this is a crisis we hope we will never see again. But for us to debate while we're still in it, to limit a governor's power and get a consensus on how to use his executive powers through the Emergency Management Act, if you're in a business and you're a CEO and your business is on fire, you can't stop to call your board of directors to say, what do we do? That's why we have a CEO. The governor is our elected chief executive officer. In a crisis, he is at the helm of the ship, or she is. And in 10 years, if we have a Republican governor and a Democratic General Assembly, I would be arguing the exact same thing. We have to give the power to the chief executive during the crisis as long as the crisis lasts. We're not asking in this bill to look at the Supreme Court. The Chief Justice of the Supreme Court has been able to issue executive orders, administrative orders to shut courts, to stop jury trials, constitutional rights. And we're not saying to the Chief Justice, oh, you got to get the six associate justices on your side before you do that, because it is a time of crisis. It is a time of saving people's health and saving people's lives. So let's not fundamentally alter the structure of our government, especially in this one realm of crisis management. Thank you.
The gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I think a year ago, most people across our state didn't believe that a governor had the power to shut down an entire state. And in fact, it appears, at least initially, perhaps Governor Cooper didn't believe he had the power to do that, because in one of his first orders, he requested Council of State approval. And we all know that story. We've debated that. And some members of the Council of State asked some questions, and the governor switched legal theories and decided to move forth without getting that Council of State approval. But what this bill does is just simply makes clear that the Emergency Management Act requires that Council of State approval. Much of the act clearly requires Council of State approval. And to be fair, part of it is just simply not clear. And that's the part that the governor has been proceeding under for the last year. Over the course of the last year, I think we can all agree that the governor has made some of the most consequential decisions of any governor in modern history. Businesses have had to be shut down. People have lost their jobs. Kids have been out of school. And they're going to be affected by that, of course, for the rest of their lives. And all of those decisions, those huge consequential decisions, have been made by one person without the requirement that that one person consult a single other elected official. And, you know, as my friend, Representative Quick, points out, the governor won re-election. Yes, he did. But 2.5 million people in our state voted for the other candidate in that race. And that's the point of this bill, is that an emergency situation, we need buy-in from folks. We don't need it to be a political football. Because some folks agree that Some folks think the governor did a great job, and some folks think he did a not so great job, and I bet most people in this state think it's probably somewhere in between. But in an emergency, you've got to have buy-in. And what we saw were some folks saying, I'm going to comply or I'm not going to comply based on who was issuing that order. What's needed in an emergency is a deliberative process from multiple statewide officials. And that's what this bill would give us. I think it was interesting to me to find out that most, or well, many states anyway, across the country, don't allow a governor to simply declare a state of emergency indefinitely. Many of them, like South Carolina, they require their General Assembly to come in and approve it after 15 days. Georgia requires pre-approval before the governor can do it. Wisconsin requires General Assembly approval after 60 days. So this is not plowing new ground here. This is a policy that multiple other states across our country have implemented. And again, it's not about whether you agree or disagree with the governor. It's about the hugely consequential decisions that can be made under this act. And making sure that we've got a process that when someone's business is shut down or their school shut down, that we can trust that that was a process that was made in a deliberative way through more than just one person's decision-making process. I hope you'll join me in support of this bill.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Richardson, rise.
To ask the bill sponsor a question.
Representative Hall or Representative Kidwell, which one?
Representative Kidwell.
Representative Kidwell, the gentleman yield?
I do.
He yields.
Representative Kidwell, in looking at your bill, and I should have looked at it more thoroughly because this is a bill of tremendous consequence. Does it have a provision in there? What if a majority of the Council of State doesn't really want to meet and they make themselves unavailable for meeting? Is there a provision in here that would allow those that are present to vote or does it have to be a majority of the total Council of State?
So thank you for that question, Representative. Actually, it goes a little beyond that. Their vote would be counted as a positive vote if they fail to respond.
The reason I bring this up is this is that part of it is thought out, but this is a serious, serious piece of legislation we're doing here. And it affects this branch of government, it affects the executive branch of government, and it affects what the executive branch of government can do in the event of a catastrophe and an emergency. Now think about this. I could live with this legislation if it said this. If it said he must consult with the Council of State. The biggest criticism I'm hearing from the other side of the aisle is what is perceived to be a failure to talk with numerous people and listen to numerous people's how to react to this emergency. You cannot handle, an executive cannot handle an emergency by consensus, by getting a vote of the Council of State. That is ill-advised. It is not a good way for an executive to govern. Now, it would be a much better piece of legislation if it said he had to consult with them. That would be wise. I think the governor did, in fact, consult with numerous people, and I think he did as good a job as anybody could do under the circumstances. But, folks, don't change the constitutional setup we have in this state. Our governor is not considered one of the strongest governors in the state in terms of the office of governor. This will affect a Republican governor. This will affect a Democratic governor. It will affect every governor from this point forward. And this is not the type of time to react to a situation where we may not have agreed with what the present governor did. Let's change the language from a consensus to a consult. It would be a much better piece of legislation if we did that. By requiring him to get a, think about this. You're the executive in charge of this state, or you're the executive in charge of any organization, and you have to stop and suspend what you're doing in an emergency situation to get a consensus of other elected officials that comprise the Council of State when citizens' lives are at stake. That's not what our branches of government are designed to do. The executive branch is designed to act and execute the laws and to deal with emergencies like this. It is ill-advised to make him pause and to make him do the things that you're having him to do in this bill. And it is fraught with peril. And it would apply to a Democratic governor or a Republican governor. Let's don't make this mistake. Let's either amend it and make it a consultation, or let's just vote against it. But I would ask you to please reconsider your position on this. This is not the way to govern a state. Thank you.
For what purpose does the lady from Surrey, Representative Stevens, rise?
To speak on the bill.
The lady has the floor.
And I wasn't sure I was going to say anything because I did say something in rules. I disagree. I think it is a wonderful way to conduct government. There are 120 of us in here that bring interesting and new ideas every time. There was more than one way to handle this crisis. And we needed to consider the impact on schools and how the schools were doing. You have somebody on the Council of State that thinks about those things. It's affecting our economy. You have the Labor Commissioner on the Council of State. It's affecting our Treasury, being able to collect those funds. You have somebody on Council of State. You would have brought together numerous ideas and numerous thoughts. There was more than one way to handle this crisis, and by consultation and compromise and working on those situations, I believe we would have had a better approach to handling this. I agree. The governor needed some immediate emergency power to take care of this. But beyond that, he needed the input of other people who were also elected statewide. Those are people who've also reached out to all the constituents across North Carolina who brought valuable resources and information in. And yes, there should have been a consent and a majority and a consultation with those people. I don't care whether it was Republican or Democrat. I would be just as upset if there were a single Republican governor over there doing things without the consultation, but consent and involvement of the other elected officials in this state. I think it's a good thing that we look to get as much input as we can for this crisis that's now gone on over a year. And it doesn't seem the governor wants to listen to the Council of State at all, or to the General Assembly. So it is time we need to change it. And we're not necessarily in the middle of the crisis anymore. We've had time for the crisis to settle down and for us to think of various ways we could handle this crisis. And instead, we're simply still doing what one person wants us to do. And some of it seems arbitrary and capricious, which would be helpful for other people to be looking at it and going, wait a minute, why are you doing this place where you can only have 30 people in a room that accommodates 500? What's the rationale behind that? How could we better fashion that language? How about having people in a stadium or in an outdoor event? We could have more people there. What about the fact that it's not impacting schools as harshly as people thought it would, and getting those kids back into the classroom sooner? I can tell you one of the school systems in my area has been back since last August and had absolutely no outbreak of COVID in their school system at all. They've not had to close a day, and they've operated school on a full-time basis. So there are different ways to approach different things, different approaches that can be used throughout the state, and it takes more than one person to be able to reach those decisions. So regardless of whether it's a Republican or a Democrat in that governor's mansion, the Council of State's also elected statewide. They are also part of the executive branch, and their consent should be sought. I'd ask you to support the bill.
For what purpose does the lady from Orange, Representative Insko, rise?
To debate the bill.
The lady has the floor.
I believe that if this bill had been law when the pandemic started, we would never have had a mask mandate. And I believe we would have lost thousands of more people.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Union, Representative Willis, rise. Gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
You know, our nation and our state were founded on principles of checks and balances. And this bill solidifies those checks and balances for North Carolina. This bill allows the governor to act immediately. It does not strip that power from him, provides him with plenty of time to seek advice and then counsel from the Council of State. The emergency powers currently used should not have an indefinite timeline, as we've seen. We have no plan, we've had no plan, and we deserve for the men and women, the small businesses, the parents, the educators, the people of this state deserve to know a plan, a timeline for when we can move forward with this and not continue moving goalposts. No single individual should have that much power and control over our state. I ask you to support this bill.
What purpose, gentleman from Guilford, Representative Quick Rise?
To debate the bill a second time.
Gentleman has the floor to debate the bill a second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It is true that the Council of State is elected statewide, but only one person is elected as the governor. That person is given these authorities and powers and has had them before, and now is not the time to change course. Everyone in here represents a district that has been affected by this pandemic economically, psychologically, socially. I pastor a church, and every church has been affected by this pandemic. However, we don't live in an economy. We live in a society that has built this great economy. And our society must be protected from this virus. And there will be no economy if there are no people. Enough people have already passed, died from this pandemic. And it's not the time for us now to begin to look to get a vote of a set number of people to decide how we're going to save people's lives. The governor has shown a willingness to work together. The school plan that to reopen our schools came from the governor working together with this General Assembly. And now we have a school plan that is going forward. Again, I would submit to all of us, we are still in the midst of this pandemic. We are not at the end. As much as we want to wish it away, just as well as I do, I want to travel, I want to go out to eat, I want to enjoy my family. But we just can't wish this pandemic away. And we have to continue the course that the governor has set, I believe, a course that has been more responsive than South Carolina or Wisconsin. We don't live in those states. This constitution that we have, the powers that the governor has, he had them before the pandemic started. And again, I will submit to you, now is not the time to begin to play political football, which is what I think we would be doing if we did this, simply because we disagree with some of the decisions of the governor. If you would bother to ask me, do I agree with every decision the governor has made? I will tell you, no, I do not. But the response to that is not to strip the powers away from this governor or any future governor to be able to be nimble in the midst of a pandemic. I hope we never see this again. But because we're in it now, and because it's not like a movie where we get to, at the end, everything comes together and everything works out fine. We're in the midst of this. We don't know how it's going to turn out. We believe we've turned a corner. But current trends all over the country and the world indicate that we may again see another wave, and now is not the time to begin playing politics with the governor who was elected by the majority of the people, again, who saw 8 months of his track record, how he would handle this, and the majority of the people. I don't discount the vote of 2 million plus North Carolinians who did not vote for Governor Cooper. And I'm not the best math student, but the majority of the people saw the governor's course of action and elected him again. And I would hope that we would continue to support this governor. And listen, if we have ideas and suggestions, as far as I know, he's been willing to hear from us ideas and suggestions, but someone has to be responsible. Someone has to have the ability to be flexible and to respond to information that we don't have. The governor wakes up every morning with this on his mind. Those of you who are pastors here, you know we have to wake up every morning thinking about things that others don't have to think about. The governor has to wake up every morning thinking about this. Now is not the time to strip him of his power.
For what purpose, gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, rise.
Speaking of bill.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I actually want to get us back on track because we actually need to be talking about the bill that we have before us. Not agendas, not politics, but actually the bill before us. And the bill before us is very simple. Because in our Constitution, in our state, in our nation, no unilateral rule in a constitutional republic, period. Our country wasn't designed, our state wasn't designed that way. There's a reason why there's 120 members in this sole chamber. It's not for unilateral rule, and that's what this bill is about. And this is exactly what the bill does. It's not about reopening our state. It's not about what the governor did or didn't do. It's not about our opinions or your opinions about what he should do and about what he should do next. It's simply about should one person have the unilateral authority to shut down schools, businesses, livelihoods for an extended period of time. Period. It doesn't take anything away. It doesn't eliminate powers. It actually just says, does this bill give one person the authority to dictate full control of our state? That's what it does. And that's a question each one of us has to answer when we press these buttons in a little bit. This issue is very interesting because it's not only being addressed here in North Carolina, it's actually being addressed all across the country because other states and legislators are coming together, doing what we're supposed to do in governing and looking at ways to change and adapt and mold our state government to respond to state of emergencies, to respond to our citizens. And if you look at what's happening in Ohio, the Ohio General Assembly just this week or last week, controlled by Republicans, overrode a veto by a Republican governor that dealt with the Emergency Powers Act in that state on this very issue dealing with health issues. If you look at what happened in Kansas, a bipartisan bill was put forth to manage emergency powers for future disasters and also health-related issues. Democrat-controlled state of New York, they're addressing their governor's emergency powers and the authority that he has or doesn't have. If you look at Texas, numerous bills have been filed all throughout the legislature dealing with the exact same thing. This is nothing new. This is not just a Republican or Democrat issue. It's actually not even a political issue. It's actually addressing the lessons that we've learned and making sure the law and the emergency powers are adjusted to better prepare for the next local, state, national, and worldwide disaster. If you want to know what people across the state are thinking, there was actually a poll that came out by the State Chamber of Commerce that said 69% of the state just believe...
For what purpose, gentlemen from Cumberland, Representative Richardson Rice?
Ask the majority leader a question.
Representative Bell, gentlemen yield?
Not at this time. No, thank you.
Okay. He doesn't yield at this time. The gentleman has the floor to continue debating the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If you look at what the state chamber put out, it said that 69% of the state in that were polled actually believe a more collaborative process should be in place for emergency actions. As a matter of fact, if you take it a step further, on January the 9th of this year, Governor Cooper, during an interview with the News and Observer, they were talking about the Emergency Powers Act, and he stated, you know, he didn't believe that we should address the Emergency Powers Act in the middle of the pandemic, but stated as soon as we turn the corner on this pandemic, and later on this summer or fall, that may be something we want to look at. That time has come. It's here. Our citizens are asking us to simply clarify the law that reflects challenges and encourages more bipartisan consensus regardless of who's governor. Many people believe that in a state of emergency, you should actually have all hands on deck, not just one set of hands on deck. I would like for you to really think about this, and I want you to take a moment, and I want you to visualize this in your head. But what would happen if one person in this body could walk into this chamber and pass whatever law they wanted and bypass every single one of your voices or opinions? What would happen if the person that oversaw our state's largest economic impact, that was actually the largest vote getter in the statewide election we just had, and is responsible for feeding this entire state, wasn't even consulted during a state of emergency? How would you feel if you were the head of the statewide public school system and one person came in and told you to shut it down and there was nothing you could do? What if you were in charge of the state treasury or even the state's attorney or even possibly handing all the insured claims and making and the insurance responsibilities to the state and you weren't even consulted or had a voice in statewide emergencies? What if there were people losing their livelihoods, forced to close their businesses, children not getting an education? These people were desperate for help. They came to you, the state representative. And all you could say was, I'm sorry, one person made this decision and no one included me in the conversation. My friends on the other side of the aisle, I ask you this. Would it change your vote if that one person was a Republican? There is no unilateral rule in a constitutional republic. Please support the bill.
What purpose, John from Cumberland, Representative Richardson Rice.
To see if the majority leader will now yield for a question.
Representative Bell, is the gentleman now yield?
I was on a roll, sir. Now I'm ready.
Hear you.
You were, and you were making some very good points. You mentioned in your argument, which was a very good one, that we in this session have come to a spirit of cooperation, the likes of which we hadn't seen in recent years. Is that correct? A bipartisan cooperation.
Rephrase your question. I'm not sure I understood what you said.
May I ask another
question? Absolutely.
Have we not, in this session, done a lot of bipartisan effort and work on a number of bills that have passed at almost 100 to 20 to nothing?
So far, but it's still early.
Yeah, sure.
You would ask
the gentleman was recognized for an exchange, a series of questions.
You agree that this bill is an extremely important bill when it comes to the constitutional authorities of the legislature, the Council of State, and the governor.
I do believe it's an extremely important bill, but I think that what we're trying to do here is actually put forth the best and brightest and make the best decision for all citizens here in the state of North Carolina. That's why we have the multitude of folks on the Council of State. Because just like Commissioner Troxler, he looks at things from a different lens. Just like you look at things at a different lens than I do. And frankly, that's the beautiful thing about our government, because it takes 61 people in here to pass a bill. If the governor has his say and vetoes, it takes an additional 72, so there's checks and balances.
And I'm still allowed to follow the series of questions, Mr. Speaker.
Absolutely.
And recognizing that, at the end of the day, there can only be one governor. And the word that and we keep using two words over and over, and those words are very vital and important. One is consult, and one is consensus. And my question to you is this. In the light of bipartisan effort, in the light of the fact that you do have a bill that has very significant merit to it, would the majority leader consider an amendment, a friendly amendment, that changed the term consensus to consult? Because I think the reason I would ask that is I think then the governor would still be the ultimate decision maker in that regard, and could do what he has to do or she has to do in the terms of emergency, but at the same time would accomplish what you want to accomplish, and that is consult with all these various people that his decision or her decision would have major impact on in the process. Would the majority leader consider a friendly amendment changing the term from consensus to consult?
Thank you, Representative Richardson. And I actually would not. And the reason why is because the governor should actually be consulting the Council of State anyway. Frankly, he did it just 2 weeks ago when we had a tornado emergency that came through. He consulted and got consent from the Council of State. And if you go back and look at the executive order, he started on that path until there was some pushback that said, hey, you know, maybe you need to take a step back and think about this. And then unilaterally made the move to move forward without the Council of State. And so it goes back to our constitutional republic. There is never in any part of our country or state's history been unilateral control. It's always been a bipartisan, hopefully a bipartisan effort, but it's always been consensus, whether it's this body, whether it's the Senate, whether it's all the checks and balances that go in. So I thank you for your amendment, but I do think the governor needs to consult with the Council of State and get a commitment from them as the majority of the body that are elected officials statewide and then move forward.
For what purpose? The lady from Durham, Representative Morey, rise.
To debate the bill a second time.
The lady has floor to debate the bill a second time.
And I'll be brief, and it's just because in response to what has been said, I think some people on our side of the aisle would argue that the President of the United States in 2020 had some unilateral absolute authority. And some of us on the side of the aisle would say, well, he didn't act. And he didn't even listen to the public health officials and see where we are today. So I would argue that Governor Cooper has not acted like a dictator, only with unilateral authority. He has spoken to the people of the state weekly. He has been in press conferences. He has explained his reasoning. And every time he backs it up with data, he backs it up with the Secretary of Human Health. He backs it up with CDC. This is a health emergency. And as far as I know, there's not one member of the Council of State who is an expert in public health. Thank you.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 264 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed to vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Reeves, the House Minority Leader, is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Democratic members. Sir, we can't have comments from the gallery. The Representative Reeves is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and the following members have authorized me to enter. Please. I just want to be back in court. They authorized me to enter votes on their behalf. Representative Ager, no. Brockman, no. Carney, no. Cunningham, no. Everett, no. Fisher, no. Graham, no. Harrison, no. Hunt, no. Lucas, no. Martin, no. K. Smith, no. R. Smith, no. Terry, no.
Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 69 having voted in the affirmative and 50 in the negative. House Bill 264
objection.
Passes second reading and will be read a third
objection.
Time.
Objection.
General Senator North Carolina.
We're under the emergency rules. There's no objection to third reading at this time. Therefore, the question for the House. Passage of House Bill 264 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Ayes have it. House Bill 264, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. Have one other bill we may be able to dispose of today. Representative Hall is recognized to stand forth the committee report. This has to do with House Bill 351. The clerk will read.
Representative Hall, Rules Calling Operations of the House Committee Report, House Bill 351, Clifford's Law, Favorable Committee Substitute Number 2, Unfavorable Committee Substitute Number 1.
Committee Substitute Number 1 is placed on the unfavorable calendar. Committee Substitute Number 2 calendar for today will be added to the end of today's calendar. That's House Bill 351. Short title is Clifford's Law. Chairs and four. Representatives Carter and Hunter recognize and send forth committee report. Clerk Reed.
Representative Carter and Hunter, Families, Children, and Aging Policy Committee Report. House Bill 261, raise minimum age, juvenile jurisdiction, favor committee substitute, unfavor original bill, and refer to Judiciary 2.
Original bill is placed on the unfavorable calendar. The committee substitutes refer to the Committee on Judiciary 2. Members, we're going to go back to House Bill 46. That was temporarily displaced earlier so that Representative Logan could send forth an amendment, and the chair will recognize Representative Logan to send forth that amendment at this time. The clerk will read.
Representative Logan moves to amend the bill on page 2, lines 20, by rewriting the lines to read.
Representative Logan, the lady is recognized to explain her amendment.
Mr. Speaker, I'll withdraw the amendment if I get a chance to explain.
The amendment will be returned to the member, and the lady is recognized to debate the bill on its third reading.
I wanted to amend it to give employees a chance to have some recall in case they were retaliated against. I talked to Representative Cleveland about it and got his feelings on it, and we found that there was a statute 126-86, a civil action, that would cover employees in case there was an issue, and this amendment would pretty much override that, and 126-86 may be a little bit stronger. So for that reason, I will withdraw my amendment, and I thank you for your time.
Question for the House, passage of House Bill 46 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 46, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 53, the clerk will read.
Representatives Cleveland, Bell, and Martin, House Bill 53, a Bill to Entitlement Act, authorize student attendance to local school administrative unit for children and active duty military due to military orders, and parents to clarify continuous enrollment in high school students and dependents of military personnel once students are admitted to state institutions of higher education. Gentlemen, no climbing in.
Gentlemen from Onslow, Representative Cleveland is recognized for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that we concur with the Senate changes to House Bill 53.
The gentleman has moved that the House concur with the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 53, and Representative Cleveland has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The change that was made to the bill was some clarifying language so that the private universities would be treated the same as the public universities in the state. I appreciate your support.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of the motion concur with the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 53. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Reeves is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Democratic members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and the following members authorize me to enter votes on their behalf. Representatives Ager, aye. Brockman, aye. Carney, aye. Cunningham, aye. Everett, aye. Fisher, aye. Graham, aye. Harrison, aye. Hunt, aye. Lucas, aye. Martin, aye. K. Smith, aye. R. Smith, aye. Terry, aye.
Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 119 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative. House Bill, the House does vote to concur with the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 53. The bill is ordered enrolled and sent to the governor. House Bill 351, the clerk will read.
Representatives Dixon, Lambert, White, and Moss, House Bill 351, a bill to be entitled Clifford's Law, General Center of North Carolina Acts.
The gentleman from Duplin, Representative Dixon, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and colleagues. I'm confident that everyone has taken a good, long, hard look at this bill, and so I'm going to be relatively brief with my comments. The gentleman mentioned in this bill, Clifford Jernigan, is a real individual. The statements that are made about him and his family in the body of this bill are accurate and true. I believe that Clifford is representative of thousands of people across the state of North Carolina who have been affected, as we all have, by this situation. The introduction of this bill is in no way aimed at contention or second questioning anybody about any decision that they've made. It is an attempt, after a year of learning, basically, on how we can handle each other and how we can handle the pandemic, that we have new information going forward. What this bill does, it directs the Secretary of DHHS to begin a process of establishing protocols with all stakeholders. And what this process will end up doing is formulating the protocol so that each resident of the facilities that we're talking about can pre-appoint, pre-approve a visitor, and one alternate visitor. This is a ground zero, a very minimum attempt to assure that none of these folks will ever be totally without contact with outside family or whoever is appointed as that visitor. The effective date of this bill has two parts to it. Number one, the instructions for DHHS to do this would become effective when the law, if it becomes law. The protocols and everything are delayed for a year to give DHHS, all stakeholders, the opportunity to come together and develop protocols so that we can implement this type of visitation. Mr. Speaker, should the bill pass on this reading, I'm going to respectfully object to third reading. We have one tiny issue that I've agreed with Representative Adcock that we will look at to make sure before we have third reading. I would appreciate your positive vote on this bill, and I stand for any questions.
For what purpose does the lady from Wake, Representative Adcock, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to thank Representative Dixon for bringing this bill and thinking about the welfare of our most fragile citizens that live in skilled nursing facilities, and also to just express my appreciation for his willingness to consider an amendment that I believe would help DHHS with their concerns that the way the bill is currently written, it might be in conflict with CMS regulations that could threaten a nursing home with heavy fines. So we're going to work on this today, and hopefully we'll have an amendment we can all agree to tomorrow that will make the bill better. I believe the intent of the bill is good, and everyone should vote their conscience on it, but I'm hopeful that tomorrow's vote will be an even stronger one. Thank you.
Question before the House is, I'll take it on third reading. Question before the House, passage of House Bill 351 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed to vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Reeves, the House Minority Leader, is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Democratic members.
In just 1 second, Your Honor.
Yeah, whenever. Wrong forum.
In court right now.
Whenever you're ready, just announce those.
Following members have authorized me to enter votes on their behalf. Representatives Ager, no. Brockman, no. Carney, no. Cunningham, no. Everett, no. Fisher, no. Graham, aye. Harrison, no. Hunt, aye. Lucas, aye. Martin, aye. K. Smith, no. R. Smith, no. Terry, aye.
The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 104 having voted in the affirmative, 15 the negative. House Bill 351 passes second reading and remains on the calendar. We'll stand at ease momentarily. Representatives Bradford, Soka, Setzer, Howard could approach. Representative Hall, recognize staff for committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Hall, Rules Committee on Operations, House Committee Report. House Bill 159, Education Law Changes. Favorable Committee Substitute Number 2, Unfavorable Committee Substitute Number 1.
Committee Substitute Number 1 is placed on the unfavorable calendar. Committee Substitute Number 2 will be calendar for tomorrow.
House Bill 335, Timely Local Payment to Charter Schools. Favorable Committee Substitute Number 2, Unfavorable Committee Substitute Number 1.
The committee substitute number 1 is placed on the unfavorable calendar. Committee substitute number 2 will be countered for tomorrow as well. Members, we have concluded our votes for the day. For your planning purposes, tomorrow's session will be a voting session. and it will be at 1 p.m. The chair, there will be a number of bills on the calendar that will show, but there will also be bills added to tomorrow's calendar from the Rules Committee meeting tomorrow morning. Therefore, to those members here and to the public, please notice anything that is on the Rules Committee agenda tomorrow that they will be taking up. Those bills will very likely be added to the calendar for a vote tomorrow. Also, there are a number of committees that are scheduled already. At this time, we're going to move to notices and announcements. For what purpose does the gentleman from Burke, Representative Blackwell, rise?
Mr. Speaker, for an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor.
Because it's not our normal time, but although we have actually sent out a notice, House Education K-12 will meet at 5 o'clock in room 643, which is our normal room. We have two bills on the calendar.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Union, Representative Brody, rise?
For announcement, please.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The local government land use planning committee will meet at 11 o'clock tomorrow in room 1228. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Catawba, Representative Setzer, rise?
To make an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the House, House Finance Committee will meet in the morning at 8:30. Please be prompt. We have three bills.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, rise? For what purpose does the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Hardister, rise?
For an announcement.
The gentleman has four.
House Education Appropriations will meet tomorrow morning, 8:30 a.m. in room 421. We will take up House Bill 32. Thank you.
Representative Hardister, the chair is going to direct that the Education Committee, the gentleman notice for 5, be at 5:30. So,
inquiry of the chair.
Gentleman's recognized.
5:30 today.
If it was going to be at 5 today, move it to 5:30. Gentleman's going to have a 5:30 committee meeting, is that correct? Or 5:00?
I believe it was tomorrow morning.
But. I'm sorry, it was Representative Blackwell. Representative Blackwell. With all due respect, the chair would ask that the gentleman move the committee meeting from 5 till 5:30 today so we can have a caucus.
I would be delighted. I'm glad you asked.
So let it be done. All right. Gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, recognized for an announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Republicans, we'll have caucus immediately after session. Please be prompt, 6:43. Thank you.
For what purpose, gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, rise?
I'd like to thank the Speaker for the pizza order for the 5:30 committee meeting.
I'm sure it was great, but I didn't hear it. Sorry. any further notices or announcements? Seeing none, the gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, is recognized for a motion to adjourn.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House do now adjourn to reconvene Thursday, April 1st at 1 p.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Hall moves, seconded by Representative Torbett, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Thursday, April 1st at 1 p.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it.
Call for introductions, Clerk will read.
Representative Reeves, House Bill 445, School Calendar Flexibility, Chatham County.
Education K-12, is favorable, local government, favorable, rules, calendar, and operations, House.
Representative Morey, Dahl, Candy Smith, and Quick, House Bill 446, Safeguarding Voting Rights.
Rules, if favorable, calendar, favorable, operations of the House.
Representative Kidwell, Annick, Elmore, and Howard, House Bill 447, the Jeff Wright Law, Patients, Religious Rights.
Health, state government, favorable, rules, calendar, operations of the House.
Representative Potts, Bowles, and Moss, House Bill 448, authorized use of blue light and fire apparatus.
Judiciary 2, favorable rules, calendar, operation of the House.
Representative Autry, Morey, Clemens, and Austin, House Bill 449, prohibit defense based on sex, gender.
Rules, calendar, favorable operation of the House.
Representative Austin, Harrison, and Fisher, House Bill 450, equality for all.
Rules, calendar, favorable operation of the House.
Representatives Meyer, Morey, Butler, and John, House Bill 451, full repeal of HB 2.
Rules, calendar, favorable operation of the House.
Representatives Fisher, Butler, Dahl, and Harrison, House Bill 452, Mental Health Protection Act.
Rules, calendar, favorable operation of the House.
Representatives McElroy, Bradford, Kristen Baker, and Art, House Bill 453, Human Life Non-Discrimination Act, No Eugenics.
Health, Judiciary 1, and favorable rules, calendar, and operation of the House.
Representatives Zoker, Richardson, Wilson, and Davis, House Bill 454, tax rate recommendation for pilot funds.
Appropriations, favorable rules, calendar, and operation of the House.
Representative Howard, Sain, Bell, and Richardson, House Bill 455, UNC Board of Governors, legislative members.
Education, university, state government, and favorable rules, calendar, and operation of the House.
Representative Pittman, House Bill 456, Justice for Rural Citizens.
Judiciary 1, if favorable, rules, calendar, and operation of the House.
Representative Zoker, Wheatley, Richardson, and Lucas, House Bill 457, Airborne Special Operations Museum Fund.
Operations, if favorable, rules, calendar, and operation of the House.
Representatives Brown, Reeves, Bowden, Austin, House Bill 458, Food Desert Agriculture Incentive Zone.
Finance, Family, Children, and Aging Policy. Appropriations of favorable rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Representative Kristen Baker, House Bill 459, permanent registration plates for water and sewer authority.
Transportation rules, the favorable calendar, and operations of the House.
Representatives Moss, Zoka, Sasser, and Gillespie, House Bill 460, elk conservation license, auction raffle.
Wildlife resources, rules, favorable calendar and operations of the House.
clarification for the record. House Bill 457, short title Airborne Special Ops Museum Funds, is referred to the Committee on Appropriations and Favorable Rules Counter Operations of the House. Reading of a representative statement, the clerk will read.
A representative statement recognizing Women's History Month of 2021. Whereas the state of North Carolina is the home of a diverse population of women dedicated to our nation's well-being and whose courageous efforts advance livelihood of all people. And whereas women make up more than 51% of the population of Carolina, service leaders in our communities continue to break through the barriers they face. And whereas women comprise approximately 57% of the North Carolina labor force, an increasing number of employed women of North Carolina in the managerial and professional occupations. And whereas each year since 1987, the month of March has been designated for Women's History Month to home, recognize, and celebrate the diverse accomplishment of women. And whereas during Women's History Month, it is important to commemorate the women who have helped expand the opportunities of women. And whereas many women in leadership have shaped North Carolina, including Lillian Exum Clement, who became the first female legislator in 1920, Kate Burr Johnson, who became the first woman in the country to serve as state commissioner to public welfare, the first woman in North Carolina to head the major state department in 1921, Eva Clayton, who became the first African-American woman to represent North Carolina in the United States House of Representatives in 1992, Elizabeth Dole, who became the first woman to represent North Carolina in the United States Senate in 2003, Eliza Jane Pratt, who was the first woman to represent North Carolina in the United States House of Representatives in 1946, Devlin Perdue, North Carolina 73rd governor and the first female governor of the state. Now, therefore, it is important to honor the legacy of women of every race, class, and ethnic background who changed the world and contributed to the economic, culture, and social development in North Carolina in countless recorded and recorded ways. In witness whereof, the undersigned certifies that the foregoing statement was written in the House and placed upon the journal on the 31st day of March 2021, submitted by Representatives Julie Van Hafen, James White, House Principal Clerk.
Hey, Representative, so are you voting by designation tomorrow. Special message from the Senate. The following special message is received from the Senate. Senate Bill 387, second edition of bills to be entitled an act to modify the implementation of the North Carolina Read to Achieve program in order to attain statewide reading proficiency by the third grade. Senate Bill 387 is read a first time and referred to the, we'll stand at ease. Senate Bill 387 is referred to the Committee on Education, K-12, and Favorable Rules. Representative Blackwell and Torbert recognize the Senate 4th Education K-12 Committee Report, House Bill 285, ENS Railroad Train Driver Ed Curriculum, favorable and re-referred. House Bill 285, re-referred to the Committee on Rules. Senate Bill 387, Excellent Public Schools Act of 2021, favorable and re-referred. Senate Bill 387, re-referred to the Committee on Rules. Thank you.